morning. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a privilege to have everybody here. Today is Chof Tammuz, Tafshin Pei Beis, and it's also July 19th. I want to thank Mr. Jake Wyman so much for sheer enjoyment. And the Chafetz Chaim is continuing to energize the soldiers on the battlefield, but as the Rishonim and Achronim have told us for the many weeks we've been together now, Baruch Hashem, this is applicable to every personal and communal and national crisis, Chas V'Shalom, that Hashem is constantly with us. And now we're going to deal with the following dilemma. Sometimes it seems like Hashem is not there, Chas V'Shalom. So how are we supposed to deal with that dilemma? Chafetz Chaim says, I want you to know, there's a pasuk, and it's in Parshas Bechukosai after the Tochacha, and the pasuk says, V'af gam zos, and even despite all this, with all this suffering, Chas V'Shalom, B'yosom be'eretz oyveihem, we're familiar with the pasuk, when they're in the land of their enemies, Lo ma'astim, Hashem says, I can guarantee I will not have forsaken them. I will not have rejected Bnei Yisrael. Lo ga'altim, with an ayin, the Uncles translates it as a lashon of harchaka. I have never distanced Bnei Yisrael. If we think that Hashem's far from us, He's not far from us. He's close. L'chalosam, to destroy them, chas v'shalom. L'hafer b'risi yitam, to abolish my pact, my covenant with them. Ki ani Hashem Elokeim. I'm Hashem, their God. What is this referring to? There's the Gemara in Megillah that tells us, whenever it looks like Hashem is not there, and my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, said, it's totally normal for a human being sometimes in life to think, I don't see Hashem right now. Where is He? We have to realize He's always there. Here are some examples. Look at the Golios. Lo ma'astim, every word in this pasuk, every phrase, hints to a different national crisis of Klal Yisrael. Lo ma'astim, I did not reject Bnei Yisrael. I didn't despise them. They may cost him. That's in the days of the Golos Bavel. The first base of Mikdash was destroyed. We're in the 3 weeks now. People think, where is Hashem? No, Hashem says, you think I left you? I didn't leave you. Shehamadati lahem. Now here's the key point. We need to look for the glimmer of hope because it's always there. And the Gemara says, I'm going to show you where it is. In every single Golos and in every single suffering. During the Golos Bavel, who were the stars? Who were the ones who saw us through, kept us through? Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, those tzaddikim. The fact that there are people there to help us. Anytime that I have a difficulty, I have to say to myself, this is really challenging, this is really difficult, but I still see the Ribbono Shel Olam here. You know why? Because He sent this person, or that person, or this factor, or this circumstance that's going to see me through. And you know what? That's not an accident. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, per se, is invisible, but everything Hashem does is not invisible. It's very conspicuous. What about in the Golos Yavan? Below Gal Tim. I did not distance Klal Yisrael. They may have won him. In the days of Golos Yavan. What about during the Hanukkah crisis? Shehamadati lahem. I bet you're about to fill it in. What is the glimmer of hope during the Hanukkah crisis? Whom did Hashem stand up for us to see us through? What's the answer? The Hashmonoim, correct? But there's somebody else besides that. Shehamadati lahem. Shimon HaTzadik. Oh, there's Torah. There's always the light of Torah going on. The Shimon HaTzadik. Chashmonoi. Okay, then there's the military part. But we have the Torah that illuminates us through. Chashmonoi Yovanov, the Chashmonoyim, Matisyo, Kohen Gadol. There are people there. So when a person says, I don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's so dark. It's sinister. When I was at Moshe Feinstein's Levaya, 1986, I remember Rav Ruderman Zatzal. He got up when he was eulogizing Moshe. He kept saying, it's sinister. It's sinister. It's dark. It's dark. Rav Moshe passed away. The Rabbin shall call B'nai Agol, pass away, it's sinister. But yet, when there's dark, but there's also light at the same time, we can see ourselves through it. The Chalasam, to destroy B'nai Israel, never. B'mei Haman. What about earlier? The Gemara is out of order, the Golios. But what about in the Purim crisis? Oh, everybody knows about that one. She'amadati Elohim Mordechai ve'Esther. That was really a dark period, Chas V'Shalom. But the whole time, it was only to make us daven. It was Mordechai and Esther. That's what I was supposed to say. My crisis now, this is the Purim crisis. Why is it happening to me? Because Hashem wants me to do tshuva. He wants me to go to Him and daven. L'hafer b'yisi yitam. What about this one? To abolish my covenant with Bnei Yisrael? Never going to do that. B'mei Parsiyim. Now, what is the Parsiyim? That's the Persians. The Gemara says, what's that referring to? This is the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. That was also a very dark time. That's the Middle Ages. Hamadati lahem, Beis Rebbe, the Chachmei Doros. There's the Torah. The Torah is perpetual. The Torah is incessant. There's always the lineage. There's always the line of Torah, the Mesorah. Kani Hashem Elokim, I'm Hashem their God, La'asi Lavo. That's what we have to look forward to. In the future to come, Hashem says, Ein kol uma v'loshen yicholon lishlot b'hem. Nobody will be able to control us and rule over us and oppress us and persecute us, because it's all going to be water under the bridge. That's how it's going to be. Hopefully we won't have a Tisha B'Av that's sad this year. It'll be a Simcha, it'll be a Moed. But the Gemara says that I never, ever leave Klal Yisrael, and I never leave a community, and I never leave you, no matter what's going on. The Chafetz Chaim chooses this pasuk. He handpicks the pesukim from Tanakh to strengthen the soldiers on the battlefield. And this is one of them right here. That means the person who's walking between the bullets has to say, yes, it's scary. Yes, it's intimidating. Yes, it's dark. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me every second. We know it says in Shir HaShirim, Hinei Zeh Omid Achar Koslein. Hashem stands behind our wall. He's always by the wall. Mashkiach Min HaChalonos. He's looking through. Between the windows, Meitits Min HaCharakim. He's peering through the lattice work. What's the lattice work? The Charakim. What is it talking about? What is a lattice work fence? How do we describe that? What does it look like? It's more fence than space, that's for sure. If you try to look from one side to the other, it's really hard to see through there. But you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at us the whole time. We can't see him all the time so well, but he's looking at us. So he's really, it should give us a warm feeling that Hashem is always with us every second. Chofetz Chaim says, this is for every day of life. There are challenges every day. We've said this over and over. But kol shekein be'eis tzar kozeh. It's all the more so. When I'm in trouble, Chas Hashem, I really need help. That I have to for sure think that Hashem is with me and remember that. Bevadai hu mishalech lefoneinu. It's definite. There's no doubt about it. What's the chance that Hashem is with me now? 100% that Hashem is with me right now. He's, the harder it is, the more I have to realize and the more real it is that Hashem is with me. Latzilenu, to rescue us, ulaoses oyvenu lefoneinu, to place our adversaries in front of us. He says it's a kavachomer. Why is it a kavachomer? Because if he's there at the times that are pretty smooth and things are pretty tranquil, so I'm not in a crisis. It's not an emergency. For sure he's going to be there when there's an emergency, because I really need him then. That seems to be the Kavachomer. That's the way I understand the Kavachomer, the Chofetz Chaim is saying. This is what we have to think. And then I circled it again. This strengthening and this trust. By the way, he's in the context of telling us to strengthen others. This is what he's talking about right here. That ability to give others an energy burst. If I can impress this on my friends, if I can become contagious with bitachon and emunah, then that will help my friend also come through the crisis. That means we have to help each other. Kaniskel El, you mentioned above many times. So the Chofetz Chaim says, if I can impress this upon someone else, if I can cause others to gravitate toward bitachon, and I can have others join me to understand the reality that Hashem is with me every single second, we have to spread this word. His reward will be doubled. It's going to be multiplied from Shemayim. Because what did he do? He spread this idea of bitachon. He caused it to be contagious in a very positive way. And we're coming to the end of the very first segment of Machaneh Yisrael now that has to do with bitachon. The milestone. The Chofetz Chaim says, let's say after all this, Baruch Hashem, the soldier comes home in peace. Let's say after all this, Baruch Hashem, there's some kind of crisis, there's some kind of challenge, there's something difficult, and we come out of it, and it's great. The outcome is wonderful. It's so positive. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azro, if Hashem helped him, Sheyotza Min HaMelchama B'Shalom, he came out in peace from the war, from the battle. Oh, Shar Eis Tzara. I underline that part. Or other difficult times, other challenges. Now, this is something a person could forget. Like, oh, we're out of here, Baruch Hashem! We're home safe! Fantastic! Wait a minute, what? Let's just say thank you. You have to remember that. Now, that might sound elementary, rudimentary. It's not. Because then the Yitzhahara says, okay, go on with life now. You have to stop for a second. No, more than a second. Ribbono Shel Olam saved me! We have to praise Hashem and to thank Him. Al chasto, on His kindness. Lios makir tova l'chadosh baruch hu. Gratitude. What about hakoros hatov? Hakoros hatov. Many times we use it about human beings toward each other. There's hakoros hatov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thank you, Hashem. I appreciate that. Kol yimei chayev. Every day, all the days of the person's life offers that because of this. And if it was a dangerous situation, chas v'shalom, really dangerous, there was imminent danger, what does the person have to do? Tzarech Lebarach Berachas Hagomel Chayivim Tolos. He has to say the Berachah of Hagomel. Now we know that there are four cases, the Gemara says, a person has to bench Gomel, that bring a carbon toza, and we're going to look at the text of this bracha. Kibun shohoye matchila mitchila basakana. The person was in sakana's mavis, was in danger, and Hashem saved him with Hashem's kindness. Of course, we should ask a shayla whether to bench Gomel. Sometimes we have to, sometimes we don't. But the point is, there are some emotional severe storms and conflicts that sometimes I think, you know, bench Gomel without a bracha, I made it through that one. You know, there are some days I could say, you know, wow, I made it through that day, I probably could do anything now. Hashem could get me through anything. Now, it's funny because the text of benching Gomel, the bracha, how do we translate it? It says, HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos. What is the meaning of that? What's the translation of Chayavim? Anybody want to try for it? Hashem bestows L'chayavim. What are Chayavim? Chayavim are, yeah. People who owe Hashem. Right, there's a person who owes Hashem a lot, and maybe Hashem would say, this guy owes me a lot. I don't owe him anything. He owes me a lot, so why should I save him? What do you need to be saved for? Which is why we don't put ourselves into danger, by the way, unnecessarily, because they examine our record in Shemayim. But if we don't do it on purpose, then for sure it's not our fault. We can't help it. We're there. We're on the battlefield. And then Hashem saves us. We're chayav to Hashem. We owe Hashem so much. He owes us nothing. He created us in chesed, and he still does all this kindness to us. If you look in the Siddur Otzar Tefillah, big insight about this bracha. The Imut Tefillah tells us, the Beis Yosef explains the bracha. Hagomel the chayavim. What are chayavim? Afilu la'osan shehem chayavim. Even chayavim. Even people who owe Hashem things. But it's even more than that. Tehainu shehem rishoyim. The Targum Rasha chayava. Even people who are rishoyim, they're very undeserving of Hashem's kindness. Hashem still bestows kindness on them. Every person who benches Gomel, he just came overseas, he gets up and says, HaGomel HaChayavim Tavos. He's saying about himself, even if I'm a Russian, whatever I am, Hashem still does all this kindness to me. And that's what the word Chayav means. It's like Chayav and Zakai. This person, even if he's a Russian, Hashem still does kindness to people. It's not conditional. This is what we call unconditional kindness from Hashem. Unconditional love. We know that we say it in Ashrei every day. Barachamov al kol ma'asav. Hashem's compassions are over all of his creations, his creatures, even if they don't deserve it. Hashem is erech apayim la'tzadikim v'l'rishayim. That's what the bracha is saying. So this reminds us of what we learned last time also, that hamayachlein l'chasto, if a person doesn't deserve it, still Hashem will do chesed with the person. The person, you have to have a little bit of a catalyst, have that bitachon, and then Hashem will save us from things, even if we don't deserve it. That's the bracha gomel l'chayavim tovos. So first of all, I'd like to thank Hashem, you have to have gratitude to Hashem, Makir Tov, that we now completed the first segment of the Chafetz Chaim's chapter about Bitachon, when he speaks to soldiers on the battlefield, and people will go through struggles in life. Next topic. But what happens if Chas V'Shalom, it doesn't turn out as we anticipated? Now, obviously, we're hoping, we're shooting for the stars, our Bitachon we're allowed to have and we should have is that it will be fine. Everything is going to be okay. We're going to come home in peace. Any crisis, any challenge, any difficulty, the Chafetz Chaim says we're supposed to have that bitachon, we're allowed to have that bitachon, and to the degree of bitachon that there is, so then there will be a salvation. That's the general rule, and in case anybody's not sure about it, it's an ironclad rule. Kol midosav shel kadosh baruch hu mida k'negen bida. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi, it's the Mishnah in Sota, similar lashon, Hashem's, everything's measure for measure. So the more bitachon, then the more salvation. Now a person might ask, well, what if I davened really, really hard, and I had really firm bitachon, and it didn't come out the way that I davened and the way that I trusted? Does anybody have an answer to that? What's the answer to that? Let's face it. Yeah, what do we think?
My seminary teacher would say, well, then you didn't really.
That's one answer. I think my bitachon was 100%, and it was 98%. Because I have to be able to ask myself candidly and honestly, did I really, really, with like 10 reallys that you said before, really have that bitachon? Because if I did, the pashtus, I should get that salvation that I'm trusting Hashem about. The question is, was it really, maybe I wasn't able to get myself to have it because of whatever reason, and therefore I didn't get it right then. But it never goes in vain. Hashem saves everything. We know the Pasuk tells us, tears, Hashem saves them up in a container. They're all sefer, the pasuk that hints to that. We can go through that sometime. People think, I cried. What do you mean? The Gemara above Messiah says that shari dim lo ninalu, the gates of tears, they're never closed. So if I cried when I was davening, why didn't I get what I asked for? The answer is, the tears are accumulating. Maybe a certain container has to get full. When it overflows, boom, then the salvation is going to gush forth. That's for sure can happen. Same thing with Klal Yisrael, davening for the Geulah to happen. All those tefillos, you think Hashem's not listening to us? Chas v'shalom, he's listening to them. So it could be I didn't have 100% bitachon. It might not be the time. I think that it's time for it now. It might not be true. I think I know. No, you don't know. We're a human being. Hashem says, oh, thank you for that tefillah. You will be answered to 100%. 100%, but in like a week and a half. You wanted it now, but that's not exactly the right time. It won't be good for you. It's not ripe right now. It could be that that's going to be later on. There was another power outage a couple weeks ago. For some of us, it was the third one in over a few weeks. Some people might have thought, but I see there's a storm coming. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, let there not be another power outage. Davened with my full heart. And the lights went out. What happened? The answer is, I have no idea what Yeshua I might have been pulled with that feeling. Maybe the next time the power outage is supposed to come, it will not come. Maybe it saved somebody's life in Israel from a terrorist attack. Because our tefillos are taken, and then show me after 120 years. Hashem said, I think you'd rather that happen than you have your power. You lose your power for 22 hours. So a life was saved. We don't know. The tefillos are up there, and it's Torah, and Hashem, okay, of course Hashem takes the tefillos.
Maybe it saved your life. Right. Like a half hour away, there was devastation.
That's right. We davened. Oh, yeah, that's right. In the last one, we davened. This was a real thing. There was a third power outage for some people, and then 30 minutes away, there's a tornado in Goshen, Ohio. That's right. That's right. And they didn't have power for maybe 3 days. So we didn't have it for 22 hours. We have no idea. But the thing is, did it mean that it was a waste? Of course it wasn't a waste. It's always taken by Hashem. Hashem takes it so seriously. The Chofetz Chaim says, though, what about the soldier on the battlefield? He davened. And what ended up was that he became a prisoner of war. Not a small dilemma. What should the person's reaction be? What's he supposed to think now? And sometimes people in their own lives are also prisoners of war. They're prisoners of warring relationships and of chas v'shalom ailments and all different types of suffering. Lo aleinu. A person can feel, I'm like a prisoner of war. I'm in shackles. I don't know how to extricate myself from this dilemma, from this predicament, and it doesn't seem to be ending. What am I supposed to do? That's what the Chofetz Chaim deals with right now. It's so relevant. It's a daily thing. First thing, what's the first step? What's the first piece of advice? It's the mindset. Al yipol libo alav. Let the person's heart not fall. Let him not give up. Let him not be discouraged. Now, backtrack a second. We've been doing this for a few months already. We know about Dovid and Tziklag. You know that really well. They all came and they fell apart. They came back to Tziklag, to the city. It was in ruins. Everybody was led away in captivity. It's a ghost town. They all sat down and cried and couldn't stop crying. They fell. Their hearts fell on them. Isn't it true? Well, it's a human reaction. Of course, he's a human being. But David HaMelech said, I learned something from this. I learned, im tachaneh olai machaneh lo yiro libi. I learned from this that the next time it happens, I have a different attitude now. I'm not going to fall apart, or I won't fall apart as badly. So we have to realize that there's falling apart, and then it's falling apart. There's nefilah slave, and there's nefilah slave. So if I can't help it, I'm a human being. But ideally, al yipol libo olav. Don't fall. Now, what's a good translation in English for al yipol libo olav? Maybe you can provide one. Person's emotions shouldn't fall. Person shouldn't despair. Person shouldn't be depressed. A person shouldn't feel hopeless. Maybe you can translate it better. Don't feel hopeless. That's what he says right now. He's a prisoner of war. He says, don't feel hopeless if you're a prisoner of war. Pretty bold statement, isn't it? Doesn't sound very encouraging, especially in Europe. And I don't know how it was, but I don't know. I don't think any prisoner of war is in an ideal situation. But he shouldn't fall. His heart shouldn't fall. The Hasidim say it all the time. They're constantly saying, people, always they fall in their minds. They no fel bedaito. He's no fel bedaito. A person says, oh, no. You ever feel like, oh, no. I can't believe this. I can't believe this is happening again. He says, no, don't do that. We can work on ourselves to not do it or to do it less. I'm talking to myself. Do it less. The yeda. Well, how do I not do that? Yeda ki hakol toloi biyar Hashem yisborach. We have to realize this is not an accident. This is not a coincidence. This is dependent on the hand of Hashem. Hashem allowed it to happen. And I know that Hashem is fair. I know that Hashem is nice. I know that Hashem loves me. Ki hu Elokehu Elohim. Hashem is above all forces. He's the God of all the perceived deities in the world. V'adonai ha'adonim. He's the master of all the masters. That if it's some master, if a boss, if a doctor, if anybody tells me something negative, Hashem is higher than that person. It says in Kohelet, Ki gavoa me'al gavoa shomer. It says in Kohelet. The one who's high above the high, he's watching everything. He sees everything that's going on. It's not this person who did it. Hu yachol lafoch liba malav. Ah, one of my favorite parts. Gets better. What does that mean? Hashem is able to turn over the attitude of those people on this prisoner of war, la'tov, to the good side, v'yirachmu alav, and they will have compassion on him. Now, what on earth is the Chafetz Chaim telling us here? Hashem can change people's minds. He can change their minds. A person thinks something today, and he changes his mind tomorrow. How could such a thing happen? That's because we're going to see that Hashem remote controls people's brains. He does that. There are people who impact my life, and I'm afraid of them maybe. I'm intimidated by them. I'm upset at them. But you know what? I'm allowed to ask Hashem, Ribono Shalom, can you please plant something in the person's brain that the person will be kinder to me? You could do that. It's talking about prisoners of war. He said that Hashem could do that. Now, when I saw the words of the Chafetz Chaim, I said to myself, oh, there's a Gemara like this. I'm sure there's more than one Gemara about it. Only one came to mind. It's a pasuk. It says, V'nosan l'cha rachamin v'richamcha. It's in Parshas Re'eh. Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Yishkas, in Parshas Re'eh. Hashem will give to you mercy and will have mercy on you. Now, nesina is lashon. The Gemara calls it many times, nesina miyad liyad. It's just you take one thing and you hand it into the person's hand. Hashem can literally take rachamim, that intangible emotion, and he can give it to you. He can put it in someone's mind and that person will have compassion on you. The Gemara that I'm talking about, I bet you many people know about this Gemara, and a lot of what I'm doing here is Chazara. I know that, but this is what Musa is all about. I'm doing it for myself, my own Chazara. This is the Gemara Brachos Daf Yud. Remember the conversation between Rav Meir and his wife, Bruria. So, what was happening with Rav Meir? Anybody know about this Gemara? Almost numerous. The Gemara says, Hanu Biryone. There were these vicious men. Now, what are Biryone? Rashi says Paritzim. A Paritz. The Adiyotip brings down, well, what is a Biryoni? These are paritim. These are vicious men, unscrupulous men, cruel men. Borim, the Adiyotip says. They're people like a boar. They're empty. They're empty of all types of midos and of proper deros eretz. It's an understatement. In another place, they could be considered listim. There's a Rashi that says they're criminals. Now, in Rameir's neighborhood, there were criminals in his neighborhood. Zahavu v'shavu, who would say they're a mayor? They're in Rameir's neighborhood. They were putting him through a lot of anguish, a lot of grief. What was Reb Meir's reaction? Anybody know what he'd do? Reb Meir was davening about them that they should drop dead. The Gemara says it right here. Please let them die, because I can't stand them. They're wicked. There's no hope for these people. They're tormenting me. They're torturing me. Interesting reaction. Apparently he felt they were beyond help, beyond tshuva. How many times have we done, please let that person drop that. I don't think we're supposed to be in the practice of doing that, usually, as far as I know, because the Rebbeinu Shlom is listening. No, he did this. What's going on here? It must be like we say in Shemona Esrei, V'al Mashin Ma'al Tis Sikva. For certain people, there shouldn't be any hope. There are certain enemies that should be cut off. We didn't ask them to do tshuva. Maybe they're beyond. Reb Meir felt they were beyond. But his wife comes in, the wife now, and says, no, listen, honey, come on. Amale Bruria Devisu. Bruria's wife says to him, my Zaitach, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Mishum Dechsiv says in Tehillim Kuf Daud, Yitama Chataim in Aretz. Sinners should be eliminated from the land. They should be eradicated. Okay, so you want to fulfill what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech said that sinners should be eradicated. They should be gone. They should be pulverized. They should disappear. So because of that, you're not saying that they should disappear and they should die. That's what you're thinking? But she said, you're learning the pasuk wrong. Miksiv chotim. What does she say to him? Did it say sinners should be eradicated? Chatoyim ksiv. It says sins, not sinners. Now, there's different ways to say Pshat in the Pasuk in Tanakh, and this word, in other places too, you have this. But she said, look at the Pasuk. It says the sins, the transgressions should be eradicated. They should disappear. They should be eliminated. Not the people, it's the actions. But not only that, I'll prove it to you further, she said. Ve'od, and furthermore, Shafil, the Sefer Dekra. Look at the end of the Pasuk. Ureshoyim Odeinam, and wicked ones, no longer will they be. Now, Rameir is looking at the Pasuk that it says, Rameir is hyching it up, that sinners should be eradicated, and there won't be any more wicked people. There won't be any more wicked people. That's the way Rameir is saying. And Beruya says, it says, sins, sinful actions should be gone, should be eliminated, they should be terminated, and wicked people, they are not anymore, meaning the ones who are doing those things. She said to him, once the sins are eliminated, those people who did them won't be wicked anymore. Now, doesn't that shift the lens a little bit on the attitude, how to say Pshat in that pasuk? What about an attitude on life, about hope for people? So she says to him, Ella boy, Rachme, but Rachme, you should ask for mercy, Allah, about them, the lahadre b'tshuva, that they should come back with repentance. And they won't be wicked anymore. Oh, that's what you should do. Ba Rachame Rameir, listen to his wife like any good husband should. By the way, the Gemara of Messiah says, Itzach Gutza, Gachin, if your wife is short, it says, Gachin Velechushwa. Bend down and listen to what she has to say. That the Gemara of Messiah says that. Now, obviously, there's more than meets the eye there, but the Gemara tells you, Koshar Tomar Elacha Asar Shema V'Kol Hashem Tol Avram, as long as it's not against the Torah, and your wife tells you to do something like this, you better listen to her. So he listened to his wife, and guess what happened? Ba Rachma Alayo, Ba Hadre B'tshuva. They came back with repentance. Nice, beautiful ending to that story, isn't that? Boy, is that pleasant. Heartwarming story. Is there anything difficult with that, though? There's something a little bit perplexing about it, which we're not going to actually delve into today. Mitzvah Shem will be next week. Mefarshim say, how can you daven that someone does tshuva, and he'll do tshuva, if Hakol B'Dishmaim Chutz Miras Shemaim, if Hashem doesn't control us doing tshuva, it sounds like it's going a little bit too far. Now, I don't want you to lose sleep over it for a whole week, so we'll just mention, but we're going to see it in depth next week in Mitzvah Hashem, that what's the solution to that problem? You're right, Hashem won't control your choice, but Hashem will control external circumstances and events that happen. And hopefully you'll notice them, and that'll inspire you to do tshuva. That's kind of what she wanted him to daven. We're not going to fully explore that now. That's its own topic for next time, Yirtzeh Hashem. We're just going to capture the flavor of this Gemara, though, and apply it to what the Chafetz Chaim is telling us when we're in a crisis, Chas V'Shalom. If there's a person who's tormenting me, if there's a person with whom I have a conflict, I shouldn't daven that the person should die, Chas V'Shalom, or should suffer, or get punished. I should ask Hashem, Hashem, please intervene. Put something in the person's mind. Maybe not even necessarily tshuva. Help them decide a certain thing. Make a certain decision. Come to a certain conclusion. It doesn't have to violate the rule of Bechira even. It could be like, can you like plant a little thought in their mind? We won't control them. I heard Rabbi Yehuda Mendel uses that terminology. Hashem can remote control a person's mind, and I can ask Hashem to do it. Not even to do a mitzvah, to do it there. It's more like he should go this way, he should go a different way. Some people are safer distance from each other. They have a better relationship, a distance relationship. You know, maybe he'll move to another city. We'll have us sometimes with relatives. With relatives, sometimes it's better at a distance relationship. They have a loving relationship because they're not living in the same house. They're not down each other's throats. Whatever it is Hashem could do, he could intervene. He could get involved. And whatever else, it could be happening with doctors, it could be with employers, it could be employees, it could be partners, it could be friends, it could be relatives. Whoever it is, I'm allowed and encouraged to ask Hashem to do this. He said this about the prisoners of war. The Ribon Shel Olam can actually plant in their minds, you know what? We don't need this prisoner anymore. Just get him out of here. It's a pain in the ass. Just get him out. It can happen in a second. So we have to realize this, and that we saw today, that even if things, chas v'shalom, they don't turn out the way we wanted them to 100%, that doesn't mean we've lost hope. Now we're going to go to the next plan, contingency plan. Okay, what do I do from here on? I can ask Hashem to intervene even when people are causing my crisis. even if it's an interpersonal relationship. And that's what's causing my anxiety. I have anxiety from a certain encounter I'm going to have with somebody. Ribono Shel Olam, please somehow smooth it out for me. Make it that they'll go a different way. Make it that they will come my way. But put in their mind the right words to say. Have it put in my mind the right words to say. So maybe we can patch up our relationship. And with everything else in life, for sure, Hashem intervenes and He turns things in our direction. All we need to do is keep davening, and as the Chofetz Chaim said, Al Yipo Libo Lav, we should not despair nor ever be discouraged. We have to keep an upbeat, and we have to keep an optimistic attitude at every second that we can. Thank you so much for joining us. And if there are any questions or comments, please, they're very welcome. Oh. Okay. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for coming. I really appreciate it. It's so nice to have. Yeah.
Thank you. A few questions, but one is actually from a student in Shear, little like 8-year-old. She was asking, how could I'm saying people Hashem doesn't like machlokas when people fight. She said, so how come Hashem makes the fight if He doesn't like it? And we were still about getting into bechira and decision, and I was thinking, I called the day Shemayim close to Mira Shemayim. So where, how far does that go? How much does Hashem remote control our minds, and how much is it we decide to do something wrong?
To engage in machlokas. Right.
Yeah.
That's all the chira, to engage in machlokas. First of all, it's a loss to say lo yekikar hafachad aso, as we know already. It's a loss to say in the Torah not to be machlik. You know, I'm sure you know. It says a person who machlik the machlokas is over when he says lo yekikar hafachad aso. And Rabbi Kiva Zichron Lebracha always used to say that. You might have heard this. He used to say, you know, it really takes two people to have a fight. It really does. I mean, that sounds very elementary, doesn't it? Yeah, but a lot of people don't realize that all the time. A lot of times he would say, you know, if someone's giving me a really hard time, sometimes I'll just say to them, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, you're right, you know, kind of like, because anything else is just going to fuel the machlokas. It's people's choice whether to keep fighting. You're talking about machlokas lo l'shem shemayim, right? There's very little machlokas l'shem shemayim today. It's like real machlokas, you heard that also? It's almost non-existent. A real machlokas, unless you're talking about Rava and Abaya in the Gemara, okay? Okay, fine, you know, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah, that's a machlokas, and the guys in the base medrash screaming at each other. I mean, that's machlokas l'shem shemayim. Unless it gets personal, that could also become lo l'shem shemayim. But that's totally bechira to engage in machlokas.
Hashem decides everything except what we decide regarding, like, mitzvot and aveiros.
Yeah, although this Gemara, as we're going to see next time, there's a little bit of, you know, Hashem tweaks things to help us. Externals, to kind of, like, guide us in the right way, but this column called Yirah Sichlis and Yirah Tivis. So Yirah Sichlis is the thing that Hashem doesn't interfere with.
What's that mean?
We're going to learn next time Yirah Hashem. Yirah Sichlis is the intellectual decisions that have to do with Yirah Shemayim. That is something, that's bechira. That's Bechira. Hashem says, I've placed in front of you, you know, Chaim and Mavis. It says, of a heart of a Chaim, that is your choice. And that's what we learn in Kol Asher Yechubar, Ki Mi Asher Yechubar, Kol Chaim Yesh Bitachon, that we have Bechira. Synonymous with being a live human being is that we have Bechira. They go together like that. Hashem doesn't violate it. The exception is external things. This is called Yirativis, when we see what happens in the natural world, and that's it. Whoa. Like thunder, like it says in Koheles. Gemara Brachas is thunder. There's no scientific use for thunder. There is no practical use for thunder whatsoever. It's not like lightning. You can harness the current. What's it there for? It's only to straighten people out, it says. So those types of things. I'm allowed to daven. You know, there should be a thunderclap that'll get the guy's attention. I'm allowed to do that. But that's his decision what to do with it. That's the Yirah Sichlis. Hashem doesn't interfere with that. Because otherwise it would be Hashem and not us. Hashem wants us to be the ones who accomplish. That's the way that it is now. So that way, that's promised in the realm of Bechira. I could withdraw from the Machlokas before it happens.
So, but then you could say essentially, like, Hashem doesn't control everything.
Not your Hashem chooses, because you could do whatever He wants. And you can tell them how terrible, I'm sure they explain how Machlokas is. The horrible thing about machlokas is Chas V'Shalom, this is the time that we have to think about machlokas, how it literally causes casualties, Chas V'Shalom. You know where it says, you know, ki palei mimchad davar, you know, the drasha, ben din ledin, ben nega lenega, the whole thing over there, it's like Chas V'Shalom, it says illness comes from machlokas, and Chas V'Shalom, and we're not going to say all the terrible things that come because of machlokas. Because there's machlokas in Klal Yisrael, it's like an epidemic, literal epidemic it can cause, Chas V'Shalom. So that's why it's so important to avoid machlokas. Yeah. Okay, but I'm saying that's really in the, would they understand, would the 8-year-old understand? I don't specialize in 8-year-old.
Maybe. She probably seems like a deep 8-year-old.
It's like if a kid starts, yeah, I mean, if they're fighting about a lollipop, whatever they're fighting about, I have no idea. But it's like, so you don't have to fight. You know, let's figure out some other way. But it should save lives that way. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone should have a Tzachar Rabbah. Have a great week.